on the monitor. He's watching me. He turns to Steve Allen and goes, he does me pretty good, doesn't he, Steve? And the other guy I wrote to was Paul Lynde. He was the center square. He's Uncle Arthur on Bewitched. Well, they said one time they said, I was on Hollywood Square. They said, Paul, how many balls are in a billiard table? He goes, how many guys are playing?
Hey everybody, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This week on the show we have a guest, comedian Craig Shoemaker, who's been making people laugh for over 40 years. Jeff and I have seen him a bunch of times. Have either of you guys ever seen him?
I've never seen him live, but I've seen him plenty of times on Comedy Central.
I'm the Love Master, baby.
He is the Love Master. He's been on Parks and Recreation. He's in Scream 2. He's in a ton of things I want to ask him about if we have time. He did a couple podcasts maybe 2 years ago that I really enjoyed him on. He found out these great stories about him, like his dad was a cult leader. His wife left him for a cult leader. His dad used to do... he had a bunch of hot women around him, and he did donkey tours through the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. So interesting stuff to talk to him about, as well the fact that he's coming to Atlanta to the Punchline May 15th through the 17th. And so that'll be a lot of fun to talk to Craig. So stick around for that.
Beautiful Mount Airy Lodge. My dad's cult was there. Pocono Adventures on Mules.
That's right.
Who doesn't want to take a mule ride in the Poconos?
Your honeymoon, your weekend getaway from New York, go for a ride on a mule.
Yeah, exactly. That's the blue-collar honeymoon capital of the Northeast. They have heart-shaped pools, not tubs, in the rooms. 10-foot-high champagne glass jacuzzis. Yep. And a constellation that you look at from your round bed.
Right.
It's fascinating.
Sounds romantic.
I was performing there one time, and they don't know that I'm from there. They don't know about that I'm from Philadelphia, but we used to go to Poconos, blah, blah, blah. And the guys give me a tour like I'm some California Hollywood guy that just got in a limo. He's with this Shamokin accent. He goes, over here, Craig, you got your racquetball. If you want to play racquetball while you're here at Caesars, and over here, you got your quoits. You know what quoits are? As he goes, oh, my gosh, there's A.J. Shoemaker in his harem. What's that nut doing here? And I got to go, that's my dad. I hadn't seen my dad in years. He just walks up. He goes, hey. He goes, oh, he took my cheese tray. He goes, hey, look at this cheese. I'll bring it back to the ranch. Judy loves Gouda. my complimentary Chad, hadn't seen him in years, but they always said he'd come back in a time of need. He needs me to co-sign a loan, needs me to borrow money. He was quite a entrepreneur, which is a French word for scam artist. he was involved in the strangest things. My favorite, one of my favorites was I was a little boy. And he told my mother, Barbara, if you want your child support check, which he never gave, you got to invite your big-breasted friends over. I'm selling bras. So he sold bras meets Amway, like a pyramid operation with bras. And there's my Aunt Barbara, Aunt Fran, Aunt Dottie in the living room. There's my dad smoking a pipe going, come on, Dottie, show how it lifts and separates. The three-class model for the full-figured woman. Come on, Dottie, don't be shy. It's just you women and me. This guy's a genius.
That is a genius.
All these women in their underwear. He
gets to see boobs and make money.
They make money and see boobs. It's the reverse stripper.
Do you have any of those bras lying around?
No, that business went bust. Oh.
Nice.
Yeah, all of his businesses did. Shark excursions.
Where were they?
He was living in Cape May. It's the one time I did stay with him for like a summer. Okay. I was having a really rough life. I was 13 and to some things that happened. I stayed with him. I thought, I'm going to bond with my dad. Oh, boy. And the whole summer, he sawed off this shovel. He had me digging tunnels to convert the cesspool to the sewer in this swampland in Cape May, New Jersey. And there I am. And he just waits on the other side on a chair, smoking the pipe, waiting for me to come out like Shawshank Redemption.
1966, Andy Dufresne left Shawshank Prison. All they found was a set of mother prison clothes, bar soap, and old rock hammer nearly worn down to the nub. Little Craig.
Perfect.
Little Craig in 1972 made it through with a tunnel. Talk about a shit job.
So, yeah, that's what that was that one. So then I went fishing with him. And it was really a great bonding moment. I didn't know my dad very well. He left when I was born, something I said. Wah. And I caught a shark with him. It was really amazing. Big, giant shark. Reeling it in. I'm like, oh, my God, dad and son bonding with this shark. So then we start eating it. He dips it in butter. Everything's good in butter. He says, this is good meat. He goes, we should start a shark business. Father and son, shark business. He goes, and I got the boats for it. He's got this magazine, World War II landing crafts. You know those things from Saving Private Ryan with the big the doors that open when they get to the beach?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He goes, I could buy these for like a buck. You patch up the bullet holes good as new. There could be shark boats. Your sister can run the bait shop. So we go down to Norfolk, Virginia, and these trucks, these big giant semi trucks. And we get there, we're like 1 a.m, they're welding and stuff, and this shipyard, and there they are, these landing crafts. And he makes me sleep in this in a car with this big fat guy with jowls snoring. I had to sleep underneath of the car. This is the way he took care of his son. But anyway, so he actually did this. He towed them back and he bought a little beach outside of Cape May, New Jersey. It's got like shopping carts and old horseshoe crabs. And you get there, there's the invasion of Tarawa right there. He's going to make shark boats. But somebody like cut the lines and the boats went out to sea. Never saw a shark. Oh God. Yeah, that's and then he did the mules for years, and then he says, guess what? I got a new recreation's the number one industry in the world, you know. He says, we got a new business. You know the whitewater rafters? They're across the street. They go down and they got no way to get back up. I pick them up on a mule. You have paddles and saddles. Pretty good nice. Idea. Some of his ideas were, you know, sounded pretty good, but none of them ever made any money. I never saw a dime from my dad. As a matter of fact, he passed away a couple of years ago, and took care of his stuff. All these people coming after him. I said, I'd never lived with a guy a day in my life. The guy came up backstage a few months ago in Florida after my dad's money. He owes me money. I said, get away from me. I have nothing to do with my dad.
Wow.
If you can find some money, give it to me, his son. Anyway, that's going to be a part of my one person show special. Is these are all stories I can't tell on a comedy stage because people don't believe me. So, but in a theatrical atmosphere, you can edit with photos and things like that. You can, here you go.
Now, is that going to be a tour or is it just going to be a one show that you record or a couple nights that you combine together?
I think we're going to do like a little series leading up to it, like the development of it. And then it all culminates into this. I think I might even do it at my old high school in Philadelphia. And it's one side of the stage is going to be me on a microphone doing standard comedy, laughs per minute, the stuff I'm known for, Love Master and all that. And then on the other side of the stage is off the mic, hands free with the real vulnerable stuff, all the painful stuff that led to me to run to the microphone, my safe space, which is crazy anyway. Nobody's safe space is a microphone, but comedians yeah. It is. So, that's the show. It's called Still Standing Up because I'm still standing up.
Now, do you still do your podcasts? You were doing a podcast where you were kind of doing some mental health.
I'm really into the mental health space. Matter of fact, just yesterday we announced I'm doing it's called a Laughter Heals Recharge. I'm really into the healing powers of laughter, and we do laugh bath, guided laughitation, chuckle chatter, these intentional laughing techniques where you don't really need jokes. We'll have comedians there as well. In Sedona with these vortexes, it's beautiful. We found this resort. It's not even a resort. It's like this beautiful space. And I'm really excited about it. I love parties. I've always organized parties and people. I take people on fishing trips. It's just my jam. Well, this is one where it's really got purpose, meditation, yoga, drum circles, and things like that. So that's where my life has come. I just enjoy giving back with purpose and meaning and being of service. You know, it's not about me anymore. You know, that's why it's my last special. You know, I just really want to spread the message of the healing powers of laughter and stuff. My best friend got brain cancer. I don't know if I told you that, but
no.
It gave me 3 months to live, and I started all these techniques. I developed them all and writing a book. And you live 15 years past that prognosis.
Wow.
It's amazing. Yeah, because laughter gives you the will to live. You know, what if you're getting chemo or jammed with needles every day, you know, who wants to live? But this is why I'm having this resort, this retreat, this recharge is really to reset in a state of joy, which we are born in joy, but, you know, the life takes over when we get old.
Oh, yeah.
And out of shape over everything. We're so divided. You know, I thought of a word this weekend because I went to scout in the Sedona place called Mago, which means Mother Earth. And it's funny because I didn't use the phone. And I realized we're being divided by devices. So it's divisive.
Yeah.
It's like him. I coined that word. I think I did. It's a divisive. And that's what it's doing. It has an algorithm that just feeds you stuff that angers you. My friend, he would not stop. This other friend of mine, he would not stop with like post. I won't say who it was about, but he just regurgitated information on this. He was against a certain side politically. He just, every day. I said, what are you doing? You know, you're just drinking your own poison here and hoping they die, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, please. And he's all me. Oh, you're one of them. I said, no, I'm not. I'm a person who loves you, you know, and I'm concerned about you in this divisive world. And that's all he did. It was filled with hate and resentment, just spilled it out every day. And sure enough, he got cancer and he died like really quick. Hmm. He died miserable, unhappy, unsatisfied, without purpose. So that's what I really, that's what my life has come down to, is this retreat, this recharge, is it's just giving back where we all celebrate life together. We commune together. We have a good time. Yeah, it's a cult. My dad had a cult. Now I have a cult. And my wife joined a cult. And that blew up our marriage. They always say you marry your mother. I married my dad. So she's really
what,
into
what cult did she join?
She joined this woman named Brooke March. I mean, it's just insane. This woman is just out Looney Tunes. And come on, mamas, get your sovereign freedom. Get out of your golden cage. She was crying. She was in a golden cage. I like to be in one for like a day, by the way. Like, give me some gold for one day. I'm gonna earn it. I'm such a hard worker. I give everything to my family. She just blew up the whole family. Lost it. And just my son turned to his sister, my daughter, and says, you never knew mommy before, Brooke. It's the saddest thing that he could ever say, because she was brainwashed. And if you ask the kids, why do you no longer have why do you have divorced parents? That's the reason, because mommy was brainwashed.
How old are your kids now?
This was about 3-4 years ago. Now 16-year-old boy and 12-year-old girl. And, they're in the other room here, and we've been through it, because brainwashing is a very powerful thing. And that's also going on in our society by algorithms.
Every time you pick this up in the, like, if you get up in the morning and the first thing you do is go to Twitter.
Yeah.
Your brain, you're not supposed to wake up in the morning and get angry right away.
Yeah. And that's what my methodologies are about. In my, these modalities, I have healing modalities. I have this thing called a laugh bath instead of a sound bath. I created this thing called a laugh bath. You know, the sounds that you go in a laugh bath, they have gongs and bowls and instruments. This is just pure laughter that shifts your vibration. And everything in life, this is what I learned, everything is about high vibration. The higher your vibration, the higher your frequency, the better your life is. And the people that are misery loves company people, they start to go away. They'll try to get you, come on, come back, you know, but you have to stay in this rarefied air with groups of people that are really of that, to turn that stuff off. The first thing I say when I coach a lot, is turn off the news. The news is the only job is to get you upset. That's their only job, fear and upset. And then the drug company sponsors the news that handles the anxiety they just gave you. Right. And the drug that you take has 19,000 side effects. And then you have to have another drug to handle the side effects that they just gave you. It is an unbelievable cycle. And you just got to break free from it and really be healthy. I want you guys to raise your hands. If any of you left a certain side, right? There's these sides right now. Has anybody left a side and just in this beautiful neutral space? Anybody?
Yeah.
You have one, two. Lizzie, but remaining in a side?
well, I was going to say, I think I'm I've always been pretty like, all right, well, this makes sense what this person says on this side, and this makes sense what this person says on this side. But I've never blindly followed any side. But have I changed my mind and like walked back and been like, nope, I'm not into that, you know, anymore. Or I was wrong about that. Yeah.
I applaud you for that, because that's one thing that I find that people in this society, the egos, they won't admit they're wrong. Mm-hmm. Some of these things are proven, like the corruption of government or something will happen and eventually it's proven. Yeah. And very rarely, the only time I've ever seen is fog of war. McNamara was the Secretary of Defense under Kennedy and Johnson. And he literally admitted that they lied about the Gulf of Tonkin, which was the how we went to war. So, right. I mean, it goes on a lot. I won't mention other ones, but
I guess I just don't trust any of it, really.
No. Exactly.
So that's why I'm so like hesitant to be like, oh, I'm on this side or I'm on this. I really don't trust any of it. I'm like, well, we don't know.
It wasn't entertainment when we grew up in the 70s and 80s.
Right.
This stuff wasn't entertainment. You had to go look for it. If you wanted to wait in those waters. And now it seems it's entertainment. It just fills our lives all day long. You have to let it, but a lot of people let it.
Well, I think people like to like get rage baited or rage bait others, and they just want to be mad and they want to have something mean to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is odd because it's meaningless. It's
it has
no meaning. This is all meaningless stuff. And if you look at something that was an issue like 10 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it is, it was the issue of the day. You must be on this side. You must take care of this. They're coming for us. And no, they're not. You know, it's just you could go do this till the cows come home. Because my mother says, how do you stay informed? I said, you're only being informed by people who are sponsored. So therefore, if you're sponsored, this is what's great about this conversation. It's not, I don't know, maybe you're a sponsor, but
by the punchline.
By the punchline, yes.
Well, we can't say anything against comedy and laughter. Okay? Nothing. It's forbidden, verboten. It's really funny because this is not funny. They can't say certain things. Like, if let's say there was a corrupt pesticide company or whatever it is, or food company, you think that they're going to send reporters out? And then they cut to the commercial of that same company. Are you kidding me? Or you think there's anybody that's going to go against big farm or big agriculture? No, it's just not going to happen. So therefore, what you're watching is only handpicked just to keep you in fear. That's the whole cycle. And then people get mad at me for pointing that out. It's a very go ahead and debate me. Tell me it's not true. Watch any news cycle and you watch the commercials. It's unbelievable. Could cause itching, swelling, loss of hearing, pneumonia, vomiting, diarrhea. I mean, all these. Slow down. Yeah, the Viagra. I went to the pharmacist to investigate Viagra. I said, can I get it over the counter? He goes, yeah, if it takes two or three, sure. remember when your kids are watching with your family? It's so embarrassing now. I'm sitting with my sons, father and son, watching sports, and a commercial comes on. Do you have erectile dysfunction? My kid turns to me and goes, do you, Dad?
Yeah.
Thanks for the Hallmark moment, Viagra.
Do you have trouble with sex? And my son's like, what is that? And we're just listening to the radio. I'm like, we're not ready for that conversation yet.
That's me. Every commercial break when I'm on from 3 to 7 with on the show I'm on is, guys, are you not able to please your partner?
Come into my office. You. You're right. Yeah.
I wanted to have you do a character called ED, the erectile dysfunction B.
We'll get in trouble if we make fun of them.
Yeah. Well, if they're your sponsors, you can't say anything, right? I mean, you're shooting yourself in the foot. They would see to it that they would just shut that down. I'm just amazed that this is what it's come down to. This is our entertainment, and these are the commercials. These are the ads. Mm-hmm. How about the ad where Nugenics?
Yeah.
It's always like a white guy who's got a tangled hose. And he's, which is metaphoric, you know, for erectile dysfunction. And then Frank Thomas, the former athlete, who's literally called the Big Hurt, big African American guy, he's called the Big Hurt. And him and Doug Flutie, the two athletes, go, oh, you're going to run out of testosterone. And it's this like real wimpy guy. And it's what's really weird is like there's like a threesome too. So they're talking to this threesome. And then at the end, every commercial with this big smile, Frank Thomas, the big hurt, goes, and she'll like it too. Like it too. It's unbelievable. It's right in front of us. It's like, yeah. The worst we had growing up was aspirin, St. Joseph's aspirin or something.
You know, Jane Russell doing the Cross Your Heart bra. I would sit there and go, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I remember that.
Make them measuring taping, and it was on the dummy.
Across your heart, brah. We're very poor, and I thought if we had a bigger TV screen, I would be able to see the girl's boobs on the shampoo commercial for Brecker Brell. She'd shampoo, and she got cut off right at the boobs. So I would go to the TV and look in like it was a window, trying to catch something in our little black and white television. Yeah, with such crappy TVs. I had so many misconceptions when I was a kid. You know, toilet water women put on to smell good, right? It's called eau de toilette, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought it came from a toilet when I was a little boy. So I thought what happened was, because I put my nose in there, that doesn't smell very good. I thought maybe when they put it on their skin, some chemical reaction happens and it turns into perfume. This is what I thought. So I gave it to my second grade teacher for a Christmas present. I dipped a big Pepsi bottle in the toilet. And I wrote toilet water on the side on lipstick. I put a bow on there. I'll never forget her face. I said, Merry Christmas, Mrs. McCoy. She goes, is it really toilet water? Yes, it is. It's from our toilet. It's blue. Remember the blue tiny bowl man? Was it
toilet? Yeah.
It freaked me out.
Did she get upset? Like, did you get in trouble?
Well, that's funny you should say that. I had a tough time with teachers. I don't know if it wasn't over that. I think she did think it was a little adorable, the toilet water. Yes, she used to rap me with her knuckle in the temple until I remember one time I was wearing these glasses that I found in medicine cabinet, these tiny little frail glasses where my great grandmother wasn't even alive. And I found them. I put them on, you know, for attention or whatever. She goes, are those your glasses? Yes, they are. I was in second grade. And she goes, are those your glasses? I said, yes, they're there. They're subscription. And then she takes her knuckle and bam, whacks me. I just had a welt. And I'm going, they're mine. They're my glasses. I went all the way up to the nurse's office. She sent me to the nurse's office. The nurse calls my mom. She goes, and I still went with it. My mom's on the phone. I'm going, they're mine, mom. They're my glasses. I just went all the way with that one. But the time that really was significant with corporal punishment was literally a really bad moment, but also a great moment, was my debut in comedy. You know, I was picked on a lot because I'm very tiny, no dad. No dad, a lot of stuff happens.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, no dad, you got predators and stuff like that, which I had. So, and tiny, and then we moved to a kind of richer neighborhood, and that wasn't good because the rich kids made fun of me. And one time I'm on the bathroom floor, the fourth grade, I'm 10 years old, Mrs. Stout's class, and I'm sewing. I had a thimble. I learned how to sew at 10 years old. She caught me sewing my pants. I only had one pair of pants. And he goes back. I go back into class. They're all shaming me and stuff like that. But then like a few weeks later, I'll never forget this. I used to turn book reports. I used to make up the book. And like at the last minute, I just make up stories. But this one, I blended it with a real story about my mom beating me. And I broke a vase and she beat the crap out of me, like threw me around the room like a doll. And every time I tell another story about it, another kid would laugh. Kids that hated me. I'm like, man, this is unbelievable. So I started learning the art of exaggeration. I go, I was a pinata. There was a Snickers bar flew out of my mouth. I mean, I was like making this stuff. Baseball bat. It's unbelievable. It's magical. It was like, wow, this is what it feels like to make people laugh. And now you bond with people. You know, humor really is beautiful. So the next day, true story, she says, he's not going to do this in my class anymore. And she takes this blue yarn out of her desk, ties my hands behind my back, my wrists, like hogtied me like a hostage. She puts me on this box in the supply closet. She says, you don't get off this box. Or I'll give you another day in here. So here I am with hands behind my back, looking in the vent to see her fat thighs come up with that plaid skirt on. So Mrs. Stout. And I would just, and she'd come and I'd jump back on. She better stay there. And here I am with the paper clips and remember chalk used to bang erasers. That was
yeah.
And she says, you're going to think about this. And that was the moment where some ethereal voice said to me, no, you do this. You make people laugh. And that was because how magical could that get? I mean, the kids that hated me now liked me and people paid attention and acknowledged me being in the room. It was just beautiful. And I've been, you know, kind of teaching about humor and laughter ever since. I coach people, even in any business. I help them with their business because, and it's wellness, obviously wholeness. All that comes from laughter. And that was a terrible moment, obviously. It's not great to be hogtied for the whole day, by the way. She just let me eat lunch. She let me eat lunch. She took my hands. It does sound like Catholic school. Mr. Treichler, the next year, he would have me hold books out like this, like I was Jesus on the cross.
I used to get put in a, by the Catholic nuns, a dunce cap and sat in the corner for the remainder of the day. Yeah.
I thought that was a cartoon. They do it in cartoons.
They did it. They would put a dunce cap on my head and make me sit in the corner.
Wow. That's classic.
For trying to make people laugh.
Yeah. That's like or a classic, like smoke on the water. That's like, that's amazing. A dunce cap.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had the science teacher, Mr. Laver. Rest in peace. He was a big drinker. And so he was hungover all day. We grew up in northern Pennsylvania in the mountains. And Jeff was talking or something. And he made it. First, he kicked his desk and broke the desk because Jeff was drawing his name. And so he walks up and kicks the desk. Isn't that what happened, Jeff? I'll let you tell the story.
Yeah, that's what happened. And then he drew that circle on the chalkboard and I had to stand there.
Put your nose in it.
Yeah.
How do you guys, are you guys brothers or are you just old friends?
We've been best friends since 1979.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I've known him since 78.
But you weren't friends the first year.
No, I didn't like him at first.
We lived in the same neighborhood. And then I moved out of town because my mom was getting a house built with money from a car wreck. And then we came back and Jeff was in my class. So we've just been hanging out ever since then.
That's awesome. My best friend, Cerami, we started off rivals because I came from another school and he didn't like I was on his territory, on his turf, making people laugh. And he was like the king of that. So at first, and then we ended up together hanging out and we're still best friends today. I'd love the guy. He's the Dave Cerami. I did have fun with him. He can't pronounce his L's. It's called a baby L. I've studied this. You know, I studied speech. It's like, so you go, listen, lady. So one time I called him on the radio show and the whole audience, he's in North Carolina. So I would call him in Philadelphia and he didn't know we were pranking him that I was trying to get him to say L words. So I said, Dave, I need a promo for my radio show. He's got to say, you're listening to the Link in Charlotte. He goes, you're listening to the Link in Charlotte. And we're losing it laughing. We're losing it. He goes, I can't believe this. I'm in a parking lot in Glansdale.
So he's like saying it in the back of his mouth, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's called a baby L. And he had no idea why we were laughing. The thing is with him is if you're laughing at him, he thinks you're laughing with him. Yeah. So he's like really, really coming down with the comedy. He thinks he's a brilliant comedian. Meanwhile, just about the L's that we're setting him up. Listen, little Link. I hope he doesn't watch this show.
Maybe he is a brilliant comedian. Yeah.
Well, he was a brilliant devil. Growing up, he would like really do stuff that nobody else thought of. There was like this fight that happened at our wrestling team on the mat, all this big fight with the other team. The other team ran. And this jackass, he took all the valves out of their tires in the bus. So they go, let's get out of here. So he's there, you need these valves? they got a flat tire. They got four flats.
Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by The Punchline. It's tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner. The Punchline is Atlanta's longest-running premier comedy nightclub. You can get a huge slab of cake, some waffles, maybe some pancakes and sausage. That way you're satisfied and full while you're having a beer and watching very funny comedy. Coming up this weekend, J. Chris Newberg. On April 18th, Ellen Scrametti. On April 20th, Mary Ryan Brown. On April 22nd, Brian Moot. Brian Moot is very funny. April 23rd through the 25th, Alec Flynn. April 29th, Karen Morgan. And if you're a Patreon member, keep your ears and emails open for a chance to win a pair of passes, and that's at any level, to see an upcoming show at the Punchline. So go to punchline.com and check out all the shows.
What's your best celebrity voice?
Oh,
it's not Don Knotts, I'll tell you that.
I'm going to let you go.
Did you know I looped him in the movie Pleasantville? Did you know that?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's amazing. I think that's...
Yeah. If you watch the movie, Lizzie, I don't know if you know who Don Knotts is. Do you know who he is?
Yes.
Arnie Five, Mr. Furley Three's Company, yep. Mr. Limpet. Anyway, there's this movie called Pleasantville, and he plays the TV repairman. It was his last film. He was like sick and, you know, he's older. And it was Tobey Maguire. I don't know if you remember the movie. It's
Reese Witherspoon.
Exactly. Yeah. He plays the TV repairman. So the director, the editor, they brought me in because he couldn't read it, couldn't do his lines. Like half the movie's me looping him, but I had to do him as an old guy. I wasn't doing the Barney Fife. So I had to channel. I literally channel this guy. I have a photo of him back here. There we are after comic relief. Lizzie, I hate to say this. A lot of guys talk about guys with big ones. Mm-hmm. It's like a thing. They'll go, so-and-so's good. I won't say the names, but you know, certain guys in Hollywood that are known for it.
Steve Guttenberg.
Having big penises? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, that's what we're talking about.
Oh, okay.
So guys talk like that. So Don Knotts apparently had hung like a hockey stick, right? So they pose us next to you. I imitated him while he's backstage. He had just been on stage with the Steve Allen Show and Comic Relief. Big, giant theater, Universal. He's waiting backstage. And they all said they watched him doing him on the monitor. He's watching me. He turns to Steve Allen. He goes, hey, does me pretty good, doesn't he, Steve? And he turns to me. He goes, you do me better than me. So we hung out. That's us on the couch back there, right? You got to understand, this dude was my idol. I mean, I love Don Knotts. So many movies, Mr. Limpet, Ghost of Mr. Chicken, all these. This is my guy. I was a geek. And the whole time, though, is on my mind. I was like kind of glancing down.
Trying to see.
I literally said to myself, are those pleats? I mean, he's being real serious. I was born in West Virginia, and I was like, I couldn't do comedy. I did as a ventriloquist one time. I was in the armed forces. Yeah, he's talking real serious. I'm doing pecker checker over here. So now, raise of hands, every one of you who would have checked.
No, yeah.
Wow, Lizzie too. I love you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. So anyway. So the movie Pleasantville, it's half of the movie's my voice. He circles the apple on the telestrate. It's me doing him as an old guy. Boom, right there. What do you call that right there, bud? The forbidden fruit here in Pleasantville. I'm your TV repairman, bud. So watch the movie. You'll see.
Yes, yes. I'm going to have to now. I'm going to have to rewatch it because I didn't know that the first time I watched it.
Watch the movie. You see if you can. You know, I honestly, I'm not the... You know, I'm a very humble guy. That was one I nailed. You know what I mean? I watch and I go, was that me or him?
Yeah, I've never heard a better one. That's the best Don Knotts impression I've ever heard in my life. I think it's
I think Tim does a pretty good Don Knotts. He does so many good impersonations, too.
Your Stern is really good.
Your Stern is really good.
Let me hear.
Yeah, I was dying laughing last week when I listened to the show and I heard your Stern.
Let me hear Stern.
Let me see if I can do it.
I've been on Howard Stern a number of times, so I don't know how to imitate him.
Craig Shoemaker, your dad, with a cult leader, and you have these mules, Robin. He had mules. So, in a sense, your dad is the reason that you got into comedy. And so I'm out of practice with it.
That's awesome.
It's good.
I've got a new one. But you're right. The older they get, the easier to do. So can you do Liam Neeson from Taken?
I have a very special set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a long career. Skills that help me deal with people like you. Now, if you let my daughter go, I will not look for you. I will not find you. But if you don't, I will find you and I will kill you.
Yeah, it's good.
Pretty good.
Ray Romano. That's the other one I do.
Oh, God, do right, please.
we were golfing together, and they paired us with this playmate named Lisa Durgan, and she's really good looking. And I never realized how sexual golf is if you play with a hottie. Everything's sexual. Like she goes, I think I went in the water. Ray's like, I don't think you're wet. I mean the ball went in the water.
Since you do the perfect Don Knotts, I don't do the best Andy Griffith, but there's a line. Have you ever seen A Face in the Crowd?
Oh, one of the best movies ever.
There's a line where he goes, you don't like it? Well, I can get Tim Andrews from National Motors on the phone and he'll back it in a heartbeat. So that's my...
Such a great... What an underrated movie.
Oh, was Walter Matthau in that movie?
It was just... what's her name? She was brilliant. The lead actress, Dina Merrill, that was... Oh my God, she was amazing. It was one of the best movies. Like I'm going to watch that tonight. Yeah, and show it to my kids. Very, very ahead of its time.
And very topical now. Yeah,
grow up watching on TBS or whatever station was carrying the Andy Griffith Show. I've been watching it my whole life, and not knowing as a kid that I learned it from Dr. Demento because he did Comedy Records, and those are fantastic. And then also that he was such a good actor. And he wasn't just this, I'm old homespun sheriff from so.
No, he's a really good actor. I mean, that part that he played, Lonesome Roads. I mean, he was just incredible. I used to do the whole cast of Mayberry, including Aunt B. My first comedy act was Celebrities Getting High in Mayberry. Andy, there are seeds in my marijuana, Andy. That's damn good river out there, Floyd. I'm hesitating.
Oh, geez.
I even do Howard Sprague.
Oh, gee, Andy.
Remember him, Howard Sprague? Yeah. Ernest T. Bass.
Yeah.
Ernest T came in at the end of the bit. He's into cocaine. And somebody threw rock cocaine through my wind. And you know, it's wild to meet the people that were your idols. I did my first show ever on television. My first acting job was Matlock with Andy.
No, wow.
How crazy is that? Yeah. And then the other thing was I had no dad, so I used to write letters to famous people to fix them up with my mom. I didn't know any guys.
Did it work?
Well, oh God, I wish I had the, it's in the other room. I should show it to you. Well, I'll tell you, I collected baseball cards. I cared less what they hit. I looked for one thing, marital status.
Oh.
Because I could fix them up with my mom. So I literally discarded Mike Schmidt because he was married to Donna Schmidt. I can still tell you the wives' names, Larry Boa, Shayna Boa. I discarded them. A Hall of Famer, by the way, Mike Schmidt. I got rid of the card. Married. Out, but I found one. I go, Mom, this is your new husband, Tim McCarver. He's a catcher. I'm a pitcher. He could teach me how to. He could adopt me, teach me how to pitch in the backyard. She goes, he doesn't want me. I go, yes, he does, and he's Irish. You love Irish, Mom. I wrote him a letter, dear Tim McCarver. You should meet my mother. Sent it. Here's her photo and her belly dancing outfit. And he never wrote back. Right. I told Joe Buck that story. Joe Buck is his broadcast partner for many, many years, and his good friend. I tell Joe Buck that story after my show. Joe Buck, you know, I love my show and stuff. And next time I see Joe Buck, he hands me a ball. I have it right over here. It says, from Tim McCarver, and it says, dear son, time to grow up.
Oh,
cool. Dad, a.k.a. Tim McCarver.
Aww.
That's awesome.
During the fires, you know, evacuation time, I took that and my other prize. You know, I've got Emmy Awards. I've got Comedian Year American Comedy Awards. My one biggest prize is always with me right here. I came back for these two things, the ball, which is in the other room, and this, and my ex-wife's family reunion. I won the Horse's Ass Award. Yeah, I'm proud of that. From a mule man to horse's ass. There it is. I take pride in the worst things that happened in my life. So, and the other guy I wrote to was Paul Lynde. He was the center square. He's Uncle Arthur on Bewitched. Well, they said one time, they said, I was on Hollywood Square. They said, Paul, how many balls are in a billiard table? He goes, how many guys are playing? So I literally visualized something. That's another thing that came true. Like, you know, things take time. So I said, this guy's going to marry. I wrote him letters. You should meet my mom. You unconfirm as a bachelor. Here's her photo. I should have put my photo. But anyway, he never wrote me back. But then I said, we are going to be the first father and son team on the Hollywood Squares. That was my dream. He's going to adopt me, first father and son. Like, we'd share the booth, like Waylon and Adam. I like Craig and Paul Lynn for the win, please. Take it, son. It's a sports question. So he died, but I ended up on 75 episodes of Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nice.
Things come true. Dreams come true.
Did you do your Paul Lynn on Hollywood Square?
Well, Whoopi would let me come to the center square and sit on her lap like we were father and like she was Paul Lynn. She would do Paul Lynn with me. it was adorable. But yeah, I did like 75 episodes. I'd love to do a show because it felt so like I was connected to Pops. The only problem was I'm not a celebrity. Nobody knows me. So I was always Craig Shoemaker to block. I was the only, it's the only time they ever called on me. I was never like, let's start off with Craig Shoemaker. Like, what time I'm looking at a monitor, I'm the only way to go. She's like, I'll take Antonio Banderas to lose. It's like anything but try to pronounce Shoemaker.
That is comedy.
Well, that's a lot of fun being on your show here.
I want to say thank you, man. We all want to say thank you. And
yeah,
we're going to come see you at the Punchline May 15th through the 17th. And enjoy that. You know, if you haven't ever seen Craig Shoemaker, then you need to go out there and see him because this is the last tour, right? You're saying,
yeah. And if you have seen me, you also need to come see me because I'm developing this one person show and stuff like that. Yes. I still love making people laugh. And the Punchline, I'm old school with them. I mean, I go way back to Sandy Springs and the late 80s. And I've been there ever since. I mean, it's just amazing. Now they switch places. Play in the back of a diner. My career is killing.
They got great matzo ball soup.
Yeah, but they got great food.
Drive by here. Someday I'm going to play that diner. And who knew? Dreams come true. My dad, Tim McCarver, and Paul Lynn. Son, I'm so proud of you. You're on the sign with the Salisbury steak. You guys are great. Thank you. Craig Shoemaker, official Craig Shoemaker. No mocker. All right, on Instagram. I want to see if I get followers. All right, you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you. It was fun.
We'll see you next month.
Hey, I want to thank our sponsors for Radio Labyrinth, our long-running partners in this little scheme of a podcast we have. Starting with Atlanta Pizza in Euro. They are over in Conyers, which is Dustin's neck of the woods, proudly serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is a family-owned restaurant in Conyers with the best local craft beer. They have a huge selection of local Georgia and Southeast craft beers on tap, as well as many others available in bottles and cans. Craft beer not your cup of tea? Well, guess what? Try the $4 16-ounce Tallboy cans of Busch Light, Natty Light, Coors Light, and PBR. Gyros, pizzas, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties. So just go out there and munch down and have a couple of brews and say that we sent you. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The food truck season is upon us, and they have a number of event dates scheduled through the fall. So if you're interested in possibly booking Atlanta Pizza in Euro for a corporate or private event, please give Mike a call at 770-483-6228. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is open Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturdays 12 to 9, and they are closed on Sundays. Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by another longtime friend, our buddy Brett at LDI. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, then all you got to do is contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005. They got fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. So if you're interested in becoming a Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. We have two new stickers that we're going to be sending out to everybody. Everybody gets two that's already on there. That's at the $5 and up level. So that's our base level. If you want to do that, that's fantastic. We would love it if you would do that. $5, you know, that's almost a gallon of gas these days. I understand that, but anyway, or you can join up and be a producer for $25 a month, and you are
getting yourself a t-shirt from our t-shirt shop, and you get a message. Well, see, I'm fading. You get a shout out every week for being an executive producer. And this week, I want to say thank you to Mike Walker, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, and Pat Turner. Thank you guys very, very much. And I don't think I'm missing anybody, but if I am, please let me know. And as always, when you're a Patreon member, you are eligible to win a pair of tickets to go to an upcoming Punchline show. I guess that's everything. You know, I did want to talk to Craig. He was on so many shows. Maybe we can get him on again sometime. He was on Roseanne and Sliders, Silk Stockings, In the Heat of the Night, which was filmed here, Simon and Simon, Night Court, Matlock, which he mentioned. So maybe we'll
have... He was a fun guest.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
We are going to go. We'll talk to you next week. Until that time, please remember to keep it canon.
Say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the rain.